Well, hello everyone. Thanks for joining my session today. Today we're going to talk about AngularJS in a Office 365 context. I'm very happy to be here today, very honored that the team chose me. I have a super duper moderator with me in the same room as I. We'll kick it pretty fast because we have a ton of stuff to view together today, so let's kick it. Who am I? First, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Sébastien Lavaille. I live in Montreal, Canada. Here you can see the ABS logo. Yeah, I know, we just lost against the Tampa Bay Lightnings. I'm still crying a bit, but I think the season will be good next year. I'm working for a company called Negotium, which is a Microsoft services company here in Montreal. I am an Office 365 MVP, mainly focusing on development stuff. So I'm really into Office 365 API, SharePoint development, everything that is around the development of the Office 365 platform. You can follow me on Twitter. You have my Twitter handle. You can go on my blog, which is called Pim the Cloud. It is a blog and a podcast that I do host with another MVP that is not here today, that is called Julien Stroyker, which is a Azure MVP. So if you want to go check it out, no worries. It's very cool. Though it is in French, that's the accent why. So we're French from Montreal. So if you know a bit of French, don't hesitate. Any feedback is good feedback. I have a friend of mine which is here with me. Vincent, can you present yourself?
Yeah, hi Sam. I'm Vincent Barrett. I'm Microsoft SharePoint MVP. I'm also working at Negotiums. You can reach me on Twitter at Bayret, or you can follow my blog at vp.com/vince365. I'll be happy to moderate your session and answer your questions during the session.
I don't know if everyone heard it because I didn't, so I'll just do a quick overview of your topic. Vincent is from Montreal, but originally from France. He's a French-speaking guy also, working with me every day. He's a SharePoint MVP since a year now, mainly focusing on .NET stuff and ASP.NET, MVC, SharePoint Dev, and everything. You have also his Twitter handle, and you can reach him on his blog. Sorry for the echo. Vincent just muted himself. And there we go. Today we have a pretty packed agenda. We're going to talk about three main subjects. We're going to start by AngularJS. What is AngularJS and why you should use AngularJS in your development with Office 365. Then we're going to talk about the Office 365 APIs and all the announcements that were made during the last Ignite and Build conferences. Then we're going to talk about a bit of Azure AD, which is the primary key to make everything work together in the cloud. So we're going to talk about a bit of that. And then we're going to code to show demos. You'll see code, lots of code, lots of JavaScript, only JavaScript and HTML. So this is the main goal for today. If you have any question, feel free to go in the moderation room where you'll be able to ask your question. Vincent will be able to help you with your questions. If there are some very great questions, we'll probably try to make some questions at the end. But we have a pretty packed session, so we'll try to go the further we can. And if you have questions, don't hesitate. So we'll start about by what is AngularJS? It is a JavaScript framework, a JavaScript platform that is pretty interesting, very trendy, very everywhere. What is exactly AngularJS? It is a super heroic JavaScript MV whatever framework. I can just translate that. It is a JavaScript framework that allows you to do single-page applications all based from JavaScript. So it is a very cool framework. If you're used to something like Ember or Knockout or anything, it is developed by Google. So it is a pretty cool product. that is developed by Google, but it has been started in 2009, but now Microsoft joined the efforts with TypeScript that is now part of Angular 2.0. So it's now a very cool platform that is backed by lots of open source communities, including Google, Microsoft, and lots of open source buddies out there. It is used by a lot of big companies. Lots of Fortune 500 are using AngularJS as their single page application framework. So we're talking about Netflix, talking about YouTube, talking about Vivo, talking about MSNBC. Lots of big words. I also see it doing a pretty intensive breakthrough into the corporate applications. So it is not rare to see an internal application or a productivity application written with AngularJS. For me, this technology was definitely a game changer in my career. It changed how I think, it changed how I code, and I'll show you why in the next slides. And you have a Angular.o, so the next big version of Angular that will be coming in 2015. So this year should be the year of Angular 2.0. Lots of people are talking about it. There's a pretty good blog post about what's different between 1.4 and 2.0 on the Andrew Connell blog, which is a SharePoint MVP. I invite you to go over there and to read his thoughts. It's very interesting. It is pretty much the best analysis, gap analysis between 1.4 and 2.0 that I did found on the internet. Why should you use AngularJS? As I said earlier, I have a big, bold SharePoint development background. And this is not AngularJS friendly when you start with SharePoint. Especially when you're in 2007 or 2010. So it is for you a good way to get closer to client-side development, to start thinking in the modern era of the web. Start also thinking like a web developer. All the cool kids out there using Node.js and Angular and Bootstrap and all those frameworks is very cool. Start thinking like them. You'll be able to provide cool business value to your users. Because you like to live on the edge. That's one of the reasons why you should choose AngularJS. It is a cool technology that is very popular, that there's a lot of stuff going on around there. So if you like to be living on the edge, I think it's a good way to start. You can choose also AngularJS because you like to build application faster with less code. I'm very lazy. I love to program, I love to code, but I don't love to write lots of code that doesn't really deliver any value. That's exactly what AngularJS allows you to do. Write the code that needs to be written and leave the rest to Angular. Also because everyone is heading towards it, even Microsoft. If you're going on the dev.office.com's website, you'll see maybe 10 or 12 examples on how you can leverage the Office platform with AngularJS. That is big. That is huge. That is a way of Microsoft to say, okay, there are cool kids over there. Let's use their technology because it's one of the best technology that exists currently in the JavaScript world. So why not? And because it is the hottest development framework currently. And how I can say that, I did some stats about that. I use one of my best friends. I use Google. And I use I use Google Trends to see what's the difference between search keywords of the main JavaScript frameworks currently. So I put in AngularJS, Knockout, Ember, Backbone, and ReactJS. Probably I missed some, but I think I had the major ones. And you can see that AngularJS is like way more popular than anything else. What I should note, though, is that there is a big push on the ReactJS from Facebook. So if you like to see something very different, very in a new way to develop view mechanism in your JavaScript application, I'll invite you to check ReactJS. If not, stick with AngularJS. It is, for me, a real game changer. And especially with Angular 2.0 that comes with like 10 times the speed that AngularJS 1.4 offers, it is very cool. What are the key concepts of AngularJS? First of all, it pushes you to use architectural patterns. It pushes you to use MVC or MVP or MVVM as a way to separate your code in your solutions. It is also a great way to enhance your HTML templating. No more jQuery to inject HTML in your pages. Just push your HTML and add some attributes to your HTML, and everything will be fine. If you're used to Razor in ASP.NET and ASP.MVC, this is pretty much the same thing. It is a framework that offers two-way data binding. What does this mean? It means that if you bind a value to a text box and you edit the text box, it will edit and the text box value and the model value that is behind it. So it's very easy to transfer variables or data from your forms to your JavaScript backend. It is also a very easy routing engine that you can use. This routing engine is very simple to integrate, and we'll see it in the demos. It integrates also a cool concept with Azure AD. It is also all based on dependency injection. So everything, if you're a unit testing fan, if you love to write complex code and you want to mock some stuff, this is for you. And it is a framework that is first-minded for unit testing. So there's a complete framework into Angular to ease the process of JavaScript unit testing, and it works so well that you cannot miss it. So enough talking about AngularJS. Now I think it will be cool to see some code. So we'll cover four main concepts. We'll talk about an app, we'll talk about a controller, we'll talk about a service, and we'll talk about a directive. Those four concepts are the four concepts that are mainly the thing you need to know about Angular. So what is an app? An app is just a way for your users, for you to code, to bundle a set of API behind your HTML. So you just inject an ng app attribute into your HTML, and your HTML magically becomes an Angular app. So let me show you that. Here, I do have a page that is hosted locally on my machine. Just for the fun of it, the session before us was a lot about Node.js, and everything that you'll see today is running through Node.js also. So I'm doing all my dev on my Mac, and it is a very cool way to do fast stuff, to be able to leverage easy stuff in a very fast way. So here we have the more simple ng app you can have. You have a name, a text box, and a value at the bottom. When I'll hit my name in the text box, what will happen? The model that is bound to the text box will be automatically updated, and every changes that will happen in your text box will automatically be transferred to your model. So it means that there's watchers that are watching your data all the time, and that synchronize it with your view. So it means that if you write something there, you'll be able to grab that variable very easily into your JavaScript code. So if we're going right here in the code, I will just show you right now. I have, this is the only code that currently runs on the page. So I have an ng app here at the top that specifies that we're using a Angular application. I have an attribute here called ng model that specifies a variable. And here I have a simple templating engine that just displays that variable. So when I'm editing that input, automatically the variable is updated. So that's pretty much the more basic I can go into AngularJS, though there's a lot more stuff to view. We We also have the ng-controller applications. Not applications, but ng-controller module, if I can say. What's the role of the ng-controller? Is to bind the data from the model to the view component. So it means that it just push data to your views, and it reacts to that data from the view. So it means that it is there that you hold all the business logics of the app. I will show you something in a simple applications. Here I have the exact same thing, the exact same text box, the exact same code. Oh, we'll say hello to Vincent. When I'm going to hit click me, what it'll do, it will call a function that does exist in my controller, and that function will just do an alert of the value that is available in the variable called name. So when I'm doing that, it just pops and alerts Vincent Biret. Let's see the code that is behind that. I'm going to controllers. It is the exact same thing at the top, the exact same ng app. The only difference is that I named it, so I can refer to that app into my controller. I do include the Angular JavaScript files. Then I'm just declaring a simple Angular module, so it means an app. Here is the overall declaration of my app. And here is the main controller. So what does that controller say? It says that I have a controller that is called main controller, which has a variable called name and a function called click. And when this function will be invoked, it will just use simple code to alert the content of the name variable. In the HTML is almost not changed. The only thing that has changed is that we added an attribute, or let's say a directive, that is called ng-controller, and that refers to that main controller that we had at the top, which means that everything that is into this scope can use the variable. So that's why I can use name in here, and that when I'm doing an ng-click, so when I'm clicking on the button, it will call the inner function called click. So that's the overview of a controller. We also have the ng service. So the Angular service is mainly used to organize and share code through the app. It is a way to let your controller use the service they want to access the data they want. Usually, we'll build a lot of services. And those services will sometimes, for me it is often, used for data access. So I'm getting the data from my remote endpoints through my different services. So the demo that I'll show you right now is a very simple demo that integrates with the GitHub API. So I'll go to my services page. And here we have pretty much the same concepts we had earlier. So we have a text box where I'll put in my GitHub username. I have a button where I'll click. And what this button will do, it will call a service. And that service will remotely get the data from the GitHub API and bring back my avatar. So let's see if it works. So by pushing Sébastien Lavalle here, what it does a remote call, and it shows my beautiful face. It's not the first time, the last time you'll see my face today. I can show you the one of Vincent. So it is very, it's a very simple service. Let's see the code that is behind that. If I'm going to my services.html, I have at the top the same exact ng app, the Angular inclusion in my script module, the same application, the same scope. The only difference is here. In my click function, what I'm doing, I'm calling something from the main service to get the GitHub user and then show its avatar. Where does this main service comes from? It comes just from down there, where you have a module that returns a factory, and in this factory we return a service that is called main service. What it does, it's only a function that takes as a parameter the username, and then that does a get, an HTTP request on a get of that endpoint. So it's the API that github.com/user/username. Then if the call works, if the call is successful, it will resolve the user, so you'll be able to use it in your data. If it doesn't work, it'll reject the promise that we say, and then we'll have an error to show. How can we use that main service from my controller? This is where the dependency injection comes very handy. You just need to specify what component you want to use. This one, main service, and you'll just make a reference into your function call. So when Angular will invoke for the first time your controller, it will retrieve the main service from one of the services that is available somewhere around Angular that has been registered into your app, will put it as a parameter in your function, and then you'll be able to use it. So it is a very easy way to decouple your things. If you need the service, you just use it. If you don't need it, don't include it into your code. The last interesting thing that I want to cover is the ng-directive. From now, we already saw a lot of ng-directive. An ng-directive is a way to inject code into your HTML. So when you see the ng-app, when you see the ng-click, when you see the ng-model, it is all directives. But it is also the good way to integrate with your HTML. If you used to do some document.ready on jQuery, you'll see that with Angular, it is very difficult to work with that because your code is running in an asynchronous fashion. That means that when your jQuery code will run, probably your thing won't be on the screen, so it will fail. It is the good way to integrate directives straight into your code, into your components, so it knows when the data is ready, and then it will be able to just integrate and to bind the data to your components. Let's see the demo. Here I'll have, it's called directives. Or is it? Yes, it is. Here I have, the exact same thing. I have a GitHub username, get GitHub user avatar, and what it will do also, and you see it at the bottom, it will get all the remote, all the projects that the GitHub user is using every day. So what are the projects that I do work on? Still my face. And then at the top, you have a pretty sexy view where you can use, can drag and drop, you can remove the sort, hide the columns, sort descending. This is a pretty impressive HTML component that you'll see in my code. I did absolutely nothing. I just downloaded a directive that was built by the team of Angular, and I just bind it to my HTML. You'll see it is very amazing how simple it is. When I go to the code, I go to my directives. Here, the only thing that is different, it's always the same thing. I have a variable that is the URL, a variable that is the username, a variable that represents the grid, where I will be able to put in my options, and also the data of the grid. When I'm clicking on the button when the username is in the text box, I'm doing the exact same call to the get GitHub user. I'm using this avatar, and when this result is back from the remote endpoint, I can now do a second call. So I'm doing a first call to get the user avatar, a second call to get the user subscriptions, which means the projects that are synced to his GitHub account. And it is the exact same way. If I'm going down here, my GitHub user subscriptions is the exact same code. The only difference is that I'm adding a slash subscriptions at the end of my endpoint. So everything is REST based. It is very easy to use. I'm resolving everything. This, for now, doesn't bring any value more my view, my HTML doesn't know what to do with the grid. It doesn't know what to do with options. So what happened down there is that here I added something called UI grid, and I bound it to the variable grid. When the grid and its data is ready, then it's that precise moment where the UI grid will be invoked, and that it will be able to render the data in the fashion, in the way it wants to render the data. So that's at this exact moment where it will happen. So that's why it is so easy and so powerful to use directives. It is a way for you to integrate into your AngularJS applications. So for now, enough with AngularJS. I'd like to cover quickly the Office 365 APIs, and then we'll go to the pretty much bigger demo that integrates AngularJS with Office 365 API. So what are the Office 365 API? It is a set of API to consume your Office 365 data. It is a way for you to get data from all the endpoints and all the experiences and all the workloads, you know, Exchange, Outlook, all your graph, your SharePoint files, your OneDrive for Business, your Skype, everything. It was first released in October 2014 through the first release options in your tenant. So if you want to see it, I think you still need to put your first release on. It is a consistent pattern to connect to Office 365. So there's a lot of effort that has been done to standardize the way that you connect to Office 365 from remote applications. It is available through REST, .NET SDK, and some native SDKs such as iOS, Android, Windows Phone. Pretty much everything is covered there. You'll be able to see all of those on the GitHub of the Office Dev team, so github.com/officedev, and you'll see everything there. You'll be able to download everything. And for Microsoft, why did they build those? It's because the open platform is key. They want people to consume the Office 365 data from wherever, on whatever platform they are, and this is exactly the goal of the Office 365 API. And it uses the OData standard. So it is very easy to invoke. It is very easy to use. It is the exact same thing that you would be use in a ASP.NET MVC way. All the experiences that are available through the Office 365 APIs are the users and groups, the files, mails, calendars, contacts, the Office Graph, documents, Skype for Business. Now you can use OneNote. You also can use Yammer. So it is very easy to integrate everything that is around you into a single point. I want to show you quickly how you can leverage the Office 365 without even developing or having Visual Studio or anything. There's a tool called the API Sandbox that exists on the apisandbox.msdn.com, and you can run queries straight onto the Office 365 API from a simple tenant. So this is what I'll do right now. I'll just refresh my page, make sure that the session is still live. So I'm acting as Beth Hardy now. What I want to do, here you can see that you have the client libraries. In this case, that will be C Sharp. And you have the REST calls. So it's very cool. I prefer the REST calls because I prefer to do it in JavaScript, so it is easier for me. And here you have the simple calls that are done to the Office 365. So we just get the data and show it straight in the console that is at the bottom. So if I click run, with the sample that is already there, it will make a remote call to the Exchange API, and it will bring back all the messages that Beth Hardy has currently in his inbox. So, in her inbox, I'll say. So you can see at the bottom that you have all the data, all the JSON that went through the pipe that is available right there. So it's very easy for you to understand what's the schema and the metadata that is behind that. You can also maybe get the files and the folders. So it means that it will get the files from the OneDrive for Business of that precise user. So when you run it, you see that there's a lot of files. You can also see that there are folders that are over there. So it is very easy. It is a cool way for you to test and drive your queries with the API sandbox. Even you can sign in with your own tenant, so you'll be able to see your own data over there. It is very cool. Though it is very cool, something cooler went through last week, or the week before. Yeah, it was announced at Build. We now have a single endpoint for all of those APIs. Currently, there were different endpoints, and different endpoints also means different ways to authenticate to the Azure AD. Now everything is unified into one big API. It was announced, like I said, at Build, at the first day of Build. It is exposed through the Office Graph or through the Microsoft Graph. It is available through REST and the different SDK. So it's already good. You can already use it in your iOS or in your Android or in your Windows Phone or even on a single application that you will build for the fun of it. It is currently in preview, so it's not a RTM or anything. It's still in beta, but it's pretty impressive for a beta. So when they announced the Office 365 Unified API, I just decided to trash all my demos and to start again. So the demo that you'll see today is using all the Office 365 stuff in a unified fashion. So you don't have the regular Office 365 things. Everything is through the Office 365 Unified API, which allows me to have strictly no server-side code in my application. And why? Because it does support cores, cross-origin resource sharing. It is a key concept in a SPA, in a single-page application, because you want your users to be able to make requests to remote endpoints without being on the same domain. So you want to be on your corporate domain and call your Office 365 APIs in a remote way. So this API does support it. And it is a very important thing. In the Office 365 regular API, everything is related to SharePoint supports cores, but not Outlook and Exchange. Everything is available through https://graph.microsoft.com. Currently, you can use the users, the groups, the files, mail, calendar, contacts, and tasks. And you can also query the Office Graph and everything that is related to Azure AD. So if you want to get your manager, if you want to get to a group, you want to know who's around you, you can do it with the Unified API. And there's something that is similar to the API sandbox, but just for the unified API, which is called the Graph Explorer, available at graphexplorer2.azurewebsites.net. And it allows you to run queries onto your own tenant. I won't go into that right now because I will show you more in the AngularJS application. Last little glimpse of information I need to give you before the demo is, what about Azure AD? Everything is stored into Azure AD currently. When you need, you simply need Azure AD to be able to build something with Office 365 API. That Azure AD is based on OAuth 2.2.0, and it is fairly simple to implement in a SPA. Why you want to use that? Because you want to leave the authentication process to Microsoft. So when you're using the implicit flow, you'll be giving all your username and password on a Microsoft page. So you don't need to take care about security or anything. It's Microsoft that take care of that. You can also secure different access scopes. So you can say this application will be able to read the calendar of the users, will be able to write to the calendar of the user, will be able to send a mail, will be able to reply to an email. And it is a security trim like that. So the application will be very transparent. It will announce to the user what I will do with your data, and the user will consent to this kind of security contract. Because you're in Azure AD, now your application does support multi-factor authentication and federated authentication. So it is a pretty interesting thing. you don't have to build those mechanisms. You just use the one that Azure AD ships with the product. Because you'll use OAuth 2.0, you'll be able to have perpetual connections with Refresh Token. So you won't have to log in every time. If you're already logged in your Office 365 tenants, it will just get a new a fresh token, and this is the token that it will use into your applications. And like I said earlier, it supports the implicit flow, which is called the client credentials grant flow. And this is exactly what I want to show you right here. And we'll test it when we'll show you. What will happen when the user will connect to Office 365 from AngularJS? AngularJS will redirect you to the Azure AD endpoint. If you are connected, already connected, what will happen, it will just return to AngularJS the token that represents your current authentication. And then you'll be able then to use that token to put in every request that you make to the Office 365 API. You'll just inject that token to every request with a bearer token, and everything will be done by itself. What is amazing about this in AngularJS is that the AngularJS team with the ADAL team, so the Active Directory Authentication Library team, they built something that you don't need any code, or almost, you need 5 lines of code to make all this process work without even worrying about anything else. So it is very cool as a JavaScript developer that you don't need to think about all those stuff. How do I integrate Azure AD in my application? You can integrate it in 2 ways, in a single tenant way or in a multiple tenants. So if you're a software vendor, it is the perfect way to host your application in the cloud and to leave the process of authentication to the Office 365 tenants of your customers. You will use the Azure ADAL libraries that are available everywhere, in JavaScript, in iOS, in Android. Stop coding login screens. Leave the login process to Microsoft. They're good at it. Just leave this to them and start concentrating your efforts to delivering business value in your applications. It can be integrated very easily with the identity model of .NET through a known middleware in a .NET fashion way, not in a JavaScript way. And why you should use Azure AD? Because it just works. Now I want to show you something pretty cool that I built. All the code is already available on GitHub. I'll show you the links at the end. What I built is something that is called the Office Hub. So I'm just disconnecting here just to make sure everything works. The Office Hub is an application that mocks the Office web applications or Outlook web access, Outlook web access functionality that exists. So you can see the contacts, you can see the emails, you can see your events, and you can even see your files that are available in your OneDrive for Business. So I'll just make a quick demo of the app, and then we'll jump into the code. First thing you'll see at the top is a login screen. When you click on the login, what it'll show you, it will transfer yourself to login.microsoftonline.com. Then you'll be able to select your user, say if it's a Microsoft account or a work account. I don't think it will work for now with the Microsoft account, so go with your Office 365 one. And then you put in your password. What it will do, it will redirect yourself to the same URL you were, and now you're connected. You can see my name, you can see my face again, and you'll be able to now explore all the cool workloads that exist in Office 365. So if I'm starting with contacts, what it will do, it will get all of my contacts that are available currently in my Exchange global contact list. So currently I have four contacts. I have the four MVPs that are working with me, Julien Stroker, Vincent Biret, Nicolas Giorgio, and myself, Sébastien Levert. And here I have all the information that comes straight from the Exchange contact list. So it is a very simple way just to have some kind of business cards automatically generated for you that are simply stored into your Office 365 tenant. Very easy way to work. If I'm clicking on the delete, what it will do, it will send a delete request, HTTP request, and I'm sure Vincent will delete you. I'll already have your phone number. And then it will reload the page, and my everything is gone. No refresh, no postback, no nothing. Everything simple. Then I want to see my files. It just did a request to Office 365 OneDrive for Business APIs through the Office Graph, and I see all the files that I do have in my tenant, in my personal OneDrive for Business of my tenant. So I can go and share it with everyone. Can go to my slide decks, and if you want to click here, you'll download the exact same presentation I'm showing you. If I'm going back, you can also see the events. So when I'm clicking on the events, I have a cool calendar here that is all based out of a directive that show me a library called full calendar, and you'll see the calendar come in. You see that I have a I was at the dentist Monday. You see that I was talking to my mom on the Sunday, the 3rd, and everything. So it is a very cool way to get into those. I can also see my email. Oh, Vincent sent me an email during the session. He sent an email about SlideShare. We're organizing the SharePoint Saturday, so I'm pretty sure it's all about that. But here I can see I have some, we'll go there. I have some PNP emails from the Office Dev team that are here. If I'm clicking there, I'll just view the email right here. If I want to reply, I will just click reply over here. It will work. I won't do it now, but I will respond right now to Vincent. I will do it right now. What I did, I just click reply. I have the exact same thing that is working here. I'm here. I say, hello, Vincent. Thanks for the email. And I'll send it. Vincent will receive the email if it works. If it doesn't work, I think I have a problem now. I see some blue links everywhere, so maybe it won't work. I'll just come back here and we'll fix it later on. How this application was built? How can we bring AngularJS to such a cool way of building stuff? I'll show you the code right now. So I'll just open my project. By the way, I decided yesterday to use Visual Studio Code as my main development platform on my Mac. It was one of the best decisions I did in my life. It is just amazing how cool it is. So I'll start by showing you the app.js file. The app.js file is the app that starts the application model in Angular. So it just specify what is the name of the application, which this is Office Hub, and what are all the services that will be, all the modules that will be used into my application. So I'm using the root framework of Angular. I'm using the ADAL Angular. I'm using Summer Node for my rich text editing, Angular Moment, UI Gravatar, UI Calendar. We'll skip this part of the config right now. We'll just go at the bottom. And this is where the magic happens, right here. This ADAL configuration is the only thing that you need to set in your JavaScript file to integrate with your Office 365 tenant. You just need here to put in the ID of your tenant, the client ID, which represents your application ID, the post logout redirect URI, so it means when I'm logging out, where will I reload the page, and what are the endpoints that I will be using during my app. Because all the endpoints are from the graph at Microsoft.com, that makes only one endpoint over there. It is amazing. All the magic comes from one thing. There's a JavaScript file called ADAL Angular. In that file, use a concept of interceptors, which means that every time a new request is done through Angular, it will look to the to its base address. So if the base address is graph.microsoft.com, automatically it will do exactly that. It will, if the token has already been stored locally, what it will do, it will inject into the headers of the request the bearer with the token automatically. So every call is being automatically authenticated with AngularJS, and this token is understood by your Office 365 APIs. So it is very easy for the user because he has a seamless experience, and it's very easy for the developer because he only has to write 5 lines of code to integrate Azure Active Directory. So that is, for me, the best part of this demo. Then I want to show you my index.html. So if I'm going at the top, I have some CSS files, Bootstrap, and everything. This is regular web development. I have at the top my ng app, which means that all of my page uses ng app. This ng app, I could mix and match different applications within my my code. And here I have at the bottom, I'll go here, right here, I have my content. So if I'm going back here, this place where I can see the inbox is simply a view. This view is dynamic, so depending on the URL, it will change. It will change every time. So if I'm going to contacts, you'll see that it's now /contacts, and the content of the view changed, but not the frame. And it is exactly the goal of AngularJS, just to change parts of your application. This view is then fairly easy to integrate with your controllers. Let's say I'm going to my inbox controller. I have a lot of comments, so you'll be able to easily understand what's going on in the GitHub repo. But here, I can see that every time that my page loads, I am getting all the messages based on the page size. So it is very easy with the OData platform to say, okay, let's shoot me only the number one page with 10 results. And then when I'll just click next, I'll go to the second page, which will be, in fact, the result 11 to 20. So it is that way that we can integrate the data with your views. So when I'm updating my view over here with the method that is at the bottom right here, I'm just setting the messages variable to the data that is coming from my service that is into my my app, that is right here, my mail service, which here is doing a get messages. So it just builds a URL, checks if it we ask for a specific page, then gets the content of that URL. So it just makes a HTTP GET. Don't forget that HTTP GET will be automatically integrated with your bearer token. So you don't have to here inject the token that represents the person. You don't need that. So you just need to make a HTTP.GET. And when the request is successful, it will resolve the data. I will be able to map this data straight into my my view. So if I'm looking back at the time, I'm pretty good, I think. For a quick wrap-up, AngularJS enables you to write single-page applications integrated with Office 365 very easily. It is the best way for you to integrate in a single-page application way your Office 365 data. All the Office 365 API that I use today are being unified through the Office Graph. Authentication is possible thanks to the Azure AD Authentication Library. This is the key. This is where everything comes together. And it is all because of the interceptors that integrate the access token with every API call. During the Ignite conference, Satan Nadella called that the Office 365 is the most strategic developer surface for Microsoft. There is more than 1.1 billion users of Office and Office 365. Jump in the bandwagon. There's plenty of space over there. And stop. And what I could say to finish is that stop worrying about authentication and security and everything. Just start delivering business value with your apps, and this is pretty much the best way you'll be able to do it. Some references, you can go on dev.office.com, on the API sandbox at msdn.com, on the graph explorer 2.azurewebsites.net to play with the Office graph. Then at the bottom, the link at the left is straight to the PIM, the cloud, GitHub repo where everything is stored. You can easily find the Office Hub at this address at the center of the bottom. And then to finish, you'll be able to get the PIM the Cloud SlideShare account over there where the slides will probably be posted in the next couple of days. Thank you so much for your time. I will probably check with Vincent if there's any questions I can answer. I think we have 10 minutes left.
Hi, Sebastian. I just wanted to mention to you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to put up some surveys while we are taking some last-minute questions here. So if you look to the left hand of your viewing area, you'll see some surveys that will pop up. And Sebastian, go ahead and continue with questions.
Thank you so much. Okay, so, Vincent, is there any question? Sorry if you hear us a bit in an echo way. We're in the same room, so it's kind of fuzzy. But okay, so what are your questions?
I have a first question from Andre Abrantes. Can we use TypeScript with AngularJS? Do you like it?
Sure, we can use TypeScript with AngularJS. To be frankly honest with you, I'm not used to TypeScript yet. I want to go into that technology. But if you want to, I will give you a link to go to have all the goodness about TypeScript and AngularJS. Just go on the Andrew Connell blog. So I think it's andrewconnell.com. And it is pretty much the most amazing TypeScript reference for everything AngularJS. So you still need to understand that TypeScript is only a preprocessor that ships JavaScript codes, so it is very easy to integrate. And there are some very good examples. Even on the Office Dev repo on GitHub, you'll be able to find great TypeScript examples. So yeah, it is the way to go. Angular 2.0 will ship with TypeScript. It will be the main language that will be used. So if you want to be a bit ahead the wave, you can start learning it now. Is there any other question, Lisa?
No, so far so good. We don't have any other question. Do you guys have any other question? Feel free to ask us. We have 5 more minutes left.
Though, if you don't have any question, don't hesitate to reach out to us straight on our Twitter handle. So for me, it's at Sebastian Lavar. For Vincent, it's at Baywet. Thank you for joining us. I think it is a very cool topic. Feel free also to download the code, start playing with it. It is an amazing technology. It is an amazing API for the Office 365 API. If you have any question, reach out to us. Everyone, thanks for your time. And have a great end of day. I think we have another Office 365 session right after us with iOS, so it's pretty cool. We have a question, I think.
Yeah, we have one last question from Dave. What are your thoughts with Angular and MVVM?
In fact, I'm mostly using the MVVM pattern with the everything I just called the controller as, and to simplify your scope with MVVM. I do like to separate my model from my view models to make sure that everything is clean. But because AngularJS is a MV W framework, so a model view whatever framework, you can just implement it the way you want. If you want to do the MVC model view controller, use it. If you want to use the MVVM, use it. Your controller will act as your glue between your view and your view model. That's it. If you want to use the model view presenter pattern, use it. It is one of the most rich thing around AngularJS because it leaves the developer to choose its own patterns. It's not opinionated, so it's easier for the developer to get into that that technology with the skills he already has and that he loves.
Okay, thanks. That was the last question, and thanks you very much for your attendance, and we'll leave the room for the next speakers.
Cool. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.